Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. Oh, two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean a thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day. I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
Yo, welcome to the Tony Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I got to thank Pat for that that clip. You know, that says a different perspective on why people vote and don't vote. But I want to welcome you to the Tony Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. Pat may be joining us a little later into the show as he is engaged in a meeting presently. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask, and join our conversation. Our calling number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. To find us on Facebook, you can like us. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the search engine to find us. Today, we're going to be all over the place, kind of, sort of. As we weren't here last week, we were trying to do things and get things together as we move forward. So we're going to talk about what has happened in the past week in these United States and around this country. And, you know, I'm going to save Israel and Hamas for later in the show because I have a perspective on that. And this is Randall Jefferson's perspective, not Tone and Tenor's, not Beasley Broadcasting, or WWDB, or WPHL 97.5 HD2. But the first thing, you know, the first thing we want to talk about is the death of First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Anyone that watched that service, and I'm talking about the service that was in Atlanta first, you would get a sense of feeling that the First Lady's Club was and is a just like a sorority. All of the living First Ladies attended, and they were seated in order from Ivanka to Michelle to Mrs. Bush, and then First Lady Jill Biden. And two of the three, well, three of the four living presidents, five living presidents were in attendance. Of course, President Jimmy Carter. You had President Bush. And you had the present president, Joe Biden. And I don't know whether anyone actually took any or listened to some of the things that were said about the Carters, and especially Rosalynn. And if any female politicians or politicians as a whole have took anything away from those services, it should be how humble Rosalynn and Jimmy Carter are, and for her, she was, and how they migrated to those that were less fortunate and tried to make a difference in these United States. And as one, her grandson or son said, and most everyone talked about it, Rosalynn was Jimmy Carter's best advisor. And only because she took it upon herself that when they talked, she had to understand what he was talking about, meaning that she attended cabinet meetings. She understood what real leadership was about. She understood that you could not leave those less fortunate behind. They weren't in a TV camera or a photo op. You know, they were humble because they came from humble beginnings. And with them coming from those humble beginnings, they had a sense of what the American people were about. You know, and we have to begin to really start to look at our politicians or our elected officials to become more humble. It's not about those big businesses. It's not about the PACs. It's not about the lobbyists. It's not about those folks that feed you millions and millions of dollars so that you can win an election just to ignore those that you want or supposed to be representing. We would not be in this mess that we are in today if we had more humble elected officials that understood that it's not about the money. It's not about the power, but it's about the people that elected you to serve. That is where we have a disconnect in these United States. And if anybody wants to challenge me, you could challenge me today. You could call in at 1-888-329-3306. But be ready to challenge me with facts and not fiction. Because I'm tired of sitting in meetings, hearing all of these things. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other when I'm elected. And then when you get elected, you turn your butt up to your constituencies and give it to them to kiss. Anybody want to challenge me? Challenge me. I will challenge you. I can name, you know, I have had, no one knows this about me, but I haven't been in the room with almost every elected president since high school at one time or another, whether they be Republican or Democrat. When I was in high school, that was the first time I met Jimmy Carter. I met Jimmy Carter in what used to be a Marriott. I can look out the window where the Marriott used to be on City Line Avenue. And the Philadelphia Student Union, we were involved in his campaign here in the city of Philadelphia. And if those folks that are sitting down there in City Hall, like Curtis Jones, who was part of that, remembers, he would be able to remember the humility of Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalynn, on that night. Unfortunately, you know, I'll tell the story. We didn't know the punch was spiked. And we ended up drinking, talking about how good the punch was and all of that at this reception. And we didn't realize that the more we drank, the higher we got. You know, but these are the people, you know, I can tell you, I was in the Franklin Institute. There are pictures when I am with Barack Obama. To this day, I can't tell you what we were laughing about. On the front row, I get a call. Hey, you're on the news. I said, not me, because I don't get into those type of pictures. But it was there. Somebody even sent me the pictures. I remember being in the room with President Clinton at the convention center. Yes, I was in the room with President Clinton. And we had a good time talking and laughing. You know, so all of these politicians that post all these pictures, I don't have to post those pictures. I know who I am. I know where I've been. I know where I'm going. Yes, I've been in the room with the infamous Donald J. Trump. I've been on the White House lawn with Donald J. Trump. I've been in the room with George Bush, Jr., not senior. So when we talk about this being a bipartisan show, the only way you can understand who's on either side of these aisles, you have to be in the room. You have to begin to hear and talk with these folks, whether they're on that level or on the lower level. It's not about Democrat. It's not about Republican. It's about the people you serve. And because we're so caught up in parties that we forget from whence we came. Hey, I'll give you a newsflash. Most black people in these United States were Republicans. They were Republicans, especially in the South. Then they were offered a little bone from the Democrats, and they started becoming the stepping Fletchers and not thinking for themselves. They would get these palm cards, and they would. It was used to be the big lever, then it was the button to vote straight Democrat or even vote straight Republican. But folks are not educated, as that clip said, are not educated or have not educated themselves on the big picture of the political world. And that is why we are floundering in these United States. A lot of y'all out there is holding your breath and clapping up and down, wanting, hoping that President Biden will give another stimulus package. You know, for what? So as the guy said, you can go out and buy some sneakers with some lights on it instead of investing in the future, instead of learning, instead of having a business. Come on, people. You know, we got this around Christmas time, buy black. Well, where are the stores that we have? Where are the corridors that we have that are black owned and that are successful? Very small, very minute. Let's stop the cackalacky BS. We have a school system here in the city of Philadelphia that is talking about they have may have a $407 million deficit. Superintendent Watley, where's the money? All of these donations, all of these liquor by the drink tax, all the cigarette tax, all of this, and now the 76ers are talking about, oh, you let us build an arena. We're going to give so many millions of dollars to the Philadelphia school. They can't manage the money that they already had. Let's keep it real. We should change the name to Keep It Real today instead of Tone and Tenor Bipartisan Voices of People. Because I am on fire. And I'm tired. You know, when I have to sit in rooms and strategize with folks because we have other third parties and everything are like Democrats on steroids. You know, because they're not happy with the party. You know, my friends that came before me today, I listened to what they were talking about, and they were talking about the ward system. Unfortunately, I heard somebody say that, you know, the ward system works, and I may have missed some of it. But in the state of Pennsylvania, we have a broke ward system. I don't care what my friends on the show before me has to say. Because when your ward system is controlled by the political machines, and the committee people are controlled by the political machines, and half of your ward leaders are elected officials, you got a problem. If you can't see that, I know Stevie Wonder would be able to see it. I know Ray Charles would be able to see it. Because it's control. It's about the power. You know, as we enter this holiday season, most of these elected officials will be having all of these soirees, all of these parties. They're going to raise all of this money, but yet and still, you look a stone throw away from where some of these parties are being held. You got people trying to figure out where they're going to their next meal is going to come from. Where are they going to have a roof over their head? What are you going to do about that? You know, while your party, I got an idea. Instead of that money that you're going to raise in these parties, take that money, instead of putting it in your war chest, take it and donate it to those legitimate, and I'm not talking about your patsy nonprofits, but the legitimate ones that never get anything, that are truly helping people, donate some of that money to help Philadelphians, help Pennsylvanians. Because if you don't, we're going to have a problem. Houston, we've got a problem. And just like the shuttle blew up, this city, state, and country will blow up. I don't care if you believe me or you don't believe me. You see it starting to happen now. Everyone's all over the place. We're all over the place. Our children are being held hostage. Our elderly are being held hostage because of the violence that's on the street. To all of my news friends, whether they're TV, radio, newspaper, let's stop talking about murders being down. Let's stop talking about this being down. Let's stop talking about what's being down. And let's talk about what the real solution is to keep it at a very, very low minimum. On one hand, you got murders down, but you got 22,000 carjackings. You got almost everybody with a gun. You know, senseless killings, teenagers. We got a DA that's talking about, oh, my policies are working. Yet and still this week in the city of Philadelphia, again, we made national news. Someone with a laundry list of offenses was walking the street and killed one person and stabbed another who's in critical condition. Why? over some petty theft of hats. Of hats. Had he got locked up, he would have been back on the street. Let's think about it. Someone on the street with a warrant, outstanding warrant in Delaware County, part of Pennsylvania, you know, part of Senator Hardy Williams' district, part of the congressional level, Representative Scallion. Let's really look at these solutions. Let's stop pussyfooting around and find real solutions. With that said, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPHL 97.5 HD2.
All right. Penny for a beggar, beg to differ. Right. It's just my lonely thoughts that sometimes get off with some liquor. Right. So I don't drink so much no more, at war with my own picture. What all you right. thought it was, cause I ain't perfect as a dub in scriptures. Right. Tight as two sisters, but my favorite color black. Right. They say the color purple, royal soil on my back. All from right. the war that I've been fighting just to make it off the map. Right. I was waiting for the sun to set, they intrigue with my black. Right. I guess the pictures like my soul, one out just like my fold. I took the blueprint yesterday, the key to all my goals. Going over songs we like and songs we don't. Don't wanna fall short as the gnomes, and I have yet to visit Rome. 24 inches, how we used to dream of chrome. Last year my sister moved from New Orleans and she ain't need no loans. We light up like the scones when talking money trees. How you don't eat pork but smoke holy on tobacco weed. I never breathe another breed, you fight Felicia Heat. Right. Check the rhyme, it's just my time to kill it like the Persian spring. Right. Yeah, deep as the valleys in the Philippines right. and up in Cali. They say this tape is like an album, threw right. one in the galley. See all for free, Magna Carta, I've been a part of. My independent ass, they couldn't water. Down, look around and take over, then took over. See, we bended, these average rappers can't shoulder. So what's next? I suspect you're deaf. Welcome to the game where we train and never follow refs. Lot of great players, but we better as a team. You learn that watching Miami and the Spurs just this spring. Scary as the ring and the well on the scale. I wear like Bronson or Adele. I'm shellless, full jacket, Mattel. Madam, I replicated the summer of Sam Dam. Kill at Randam, I'm like Van Dam, stuck in a dam. Damn, who is this killer with agility? Flow been like that around Anguilla. Got the skill of thriller, came from underground to get a miller too. Every day I wrote it, seemed to want to rain a few. I guess I rain for you, Philly to NY. Just to wet you up, I'm tear ducts to a dry eye. My, what he told me, reciting Obi Kenobi. You be the death of me solely, I told him surely. I agree on my lead, cross him like Doji. Sting like Wasa, serve him losses, they lowly. Call me Young Achilles, cause I snap on these like Kobe now. Back to talking about my day, it went smoothly. I woke up hella early last night, watched a movie, and compared it to my life like 2D boobies. To come up like the sun up when your sun up mornings crying for juicies. Adolescents never stress them, develop, I bless them. Deny thanks for the blessing, one of the best in the game. I still remain outside, still writing in the rain. I rain.
Why don't you come home that night? No more, no more. And why can't you see past the pain no more? Yeah, I see the gun, but it's a pallet. Yeah, the ball is in your court, but it's a pallet. They say an acid was an album, retell it. I said I got way too much soul for me to sell it. That's why Godfather tied the cape on my shoulders and saved him from false prophets and wolves in cheap clothing. I'm a little too hard to be slept on. I'm a little too sharp to be stepped on. A little too parked for the septon. I'm so pretty I make mirrors blush. I spit the shit in the party to make your ear adjust.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPHL 97.5 HD2. You know, as I said, you know, this is a day, you know, we weren't here last week. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have gone on, and, you know, and a lot of lessons can be learned. And I would advise if you, you know, someone asked me, why would you watch a funeral? You know, it wasn't about, it was the homage of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. But if you listened to the speeches and you listened to some of the quotes, you know, as they talked about leadership, as they talked about humility, as they talked about working side by side with those less fortunate, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And, you know, talk about mental health, you know, talking about that, something that, you know, think about it, back in the day, you know, that wasn't even on the foreburner. Today it's on the foreburner. And someone had to start the conversation. You know, but we can't just start a conversation over money without measurables. There's too many and too much money being wasted in these United States and these states and in these cities without measurables, because I'm a friend with that person or a friend with that the other person or this union or that union or what have you. And then when you ask a question about the measurables or where the money is, nobody has a clue. Just like the time when all that money got missing here in the city of Philadelphia, you know, I had to laugh being investment accounting and accountant and knowing a lot of people. The answer was, oh, it was put in the wrong ledger line or what have you. You know, that's unacceptable in a city this large. That should be unacceptable by leadership in this city. Hopefully, with the new leadership that's coming in, that it will begin to be unacceptable and the greasing of the palms will stop. And, you know, if anybody wants to say I'm wrong, you know about the white envelopes and you know about all of that that goes along with it. And you know about it, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, we know this goes on. And it's not just here in this city. It's not just here in this state, but it's across the country. And unfortunately, even in our Congress, because of petty ante actions and due to redistricting, some of the leadership that was good for the country is going to resign or not run again because of the power brokers that be, because it's about power. It's about power. It's not about the money, because the money is pittance to what some of these folks could make in law firms, those that are lawyers, or to those that could go into major corporations or even become lobbyists. You know, here in the city of Philadelphia, you know, we had a conversation the other night. I was in a meeting, and we talked about the year of the woman. And if you look at the folks that won election, it was the year of the woman. And I'm not knocking the woman. I'm not saying they're incompetent. I'm saying it was the year of the woman. There were some real competent people that could have won if they had the backing and had the money. And that's the problem. And if it wasn't about party as opposed to individual, you know, because somebody's endorsed party, you know, again, this is why I said we have a broke ward system. Contrary to what my friends before me say, this system does not work in the state of Pennsylvania. We have too many elected officials holding an elected office, then holding, think about this, to be a ward leader, you got to be elected by your committee people. Committee people are elected by the constituency. But if the constituency doesn't know the process, they're thinking they're voting for somebody that will be, how many people know who their committee people are? How many people know who their ward leaders are? And sometimes, how many people know who their elected officials are? You only see these folks at election time. That has to change, because if it doesn't change, I don't care what you do. I don't care. Turnout has to change. Yes, we've got, in the state of Pennsylvania, we have mail-in ballots. I work the polls. I see what's going on. I see the shenanigans that even some people say don't happen. I see folks coming in there without the proper certificates to ask for numbers. Why? Because they know that person. There is nothing that goes on that would stop the shenanigans because we can't even get enough people to work the polls. And we only get the young people that come from the elitist high schools. If the Philadelphia Student Union was doing, wanted to be a force to be reckoned with, like back in the day, they would make sure that they would find young people to be in those polls, to learn what's going on, to earn those few dollars. And, you know, the shenanigans that go on for just a few dollars is apprehensible. Because you know why? These people, oh, that's the way we've been doing it. That's the way we did it before poll books. That's the way we're still going to do it. You know, people go to training. They need to. And I say this to the city commissioners and to the state. When you train people, you need to have hands-on training with real-life scenarios so that people understand the what ifs. It's just like writing a computer program. If then this. If then statements. You know, until you touch it, feel it. You know, you can't have people that come in there, somebody making a phone call, oh, I need poll watchers, I need this, I need that. And these people have no training and have no clue of what they're doing just for a couple bucks. Come on. We have to face the reality of what's going on here in the city of Philadelphia and across this state and across this country. You know, I had to laugh. You know, we've got more pressing problems in the city of Philadelphia than to throw bones at black folk about reparations. Most of the people I know weren't in slavery. But the city of Philadelphia passed a bill to start a reparations task force and inviting members of the black community to join. Whoop! Light bulb goes on. I guarantee you'll see some of the same faces that you see in the spider web already. And this is what one of the quotes was, until we look into our past, with the determination to uncover the entire truth, no matter how ugly or scary that truth may be, our nation's original sin will continue to toxify the present and future. That was council member Jamie Gutierrez, who I don't see walking 52nd Street where black folks are, you know, in 3rd District. Unfortunately, she'll be the 3rd District council member for another 4 years. But this is what we have to task with. This work is for our people, by our people. I urge Philadelphians from the descendant community to apply to join the Philadelphia Reparations Task Force and join us as we examine our past and shape our future. Well, I got a question. If you don't know your past, how are you going to know your future? You don't have black history in the schools. And if you do, most kids only know about a handful of people. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey. That's what they know about. Now, to qualify, which I found to be funny, you got to be a Philadelphian and you got to be a descendant of slaves. I looked at that and I started laughing. I said, okay. How do you know if you're a descendant? I said, maybe I should join this. I'm a descendant of Thomas Jefferson. He owned slaves. I've been to the farm that my grandfather had. On the other side of my family, my great-great-grandfather was a slave. I can document it. But if folks don't know from whence they came, how are they going to be involved in this? You know, this is another one of those smoke screens that we see coming out to cover up our real problems in our cities. I mean, we're one of the major cities in this country, and we don't have a bus station. We don't have an adequate bus terminal transportation system. We got people, first they were on the street. No place to go to the bathroom, no nothing else. All right. So that got hectic because people possibly getting hit and everything else. So you move to anybody that knows Spring Garden Street. You move it down to a lot, and you're going to put porta potties. So if I'm coming from somewhere, visiting Philadelphia, and I got to go to the bathroom, I first get off at a bus at a lot, and I got to go to the bathroom, I got to go to a porta potty. I don't have an adequate place to wash my hands, you know, and I don't know the area. I'm coming to visit Philadelphia. That makes sense? Why not address that? We sit in between Washington, D.C. and New York. I can get off a bus in a terminal in New York and or D.C. You get off a bus at Spring Garden Street and it's late at night, are you safe? They don't care because you know why? Some of them have drivers. If you're in the upper echelon, and others drive their own cars. They're not visiting. They got blinders on. They have blinders. This is not just on the local level. It's on the state level as well. It should be addressed. If we're going to address something, let's start addressing the real problems of this city and come up with concrete solutions first. Not trying to goat black folk in saying, oh, you may get reparations for the city of Philadelphia. Come on now. I ain't heard a bigger joke than that in my life. You know, we've got to start to stand up. We've got to start electing people, especially with primary being pushed up and people running for office, your first time to put some folks out there that can do something, though it's as short as it is, will be in April. Will be in April. And you know people are going to come out because it's a presidential election. Well, our numbers here in the city of Philadelphia have been riding about the same during primary and presidential. And folks say that Philadelphia delivered Joe Biden. No, Philadelphia did not. Go look at the numbers. You know, we have to stop believing in the rhetoric that comes out of these offices and start holding people accountable. And if you don't start holding people accountable, we will be in dire straits. We're heading that way, and we won't be able to look back. We need folks that represent us. I don't care whether they look like us or not. That's one of the problems. We're so caught up on color and party that we don't put the qualified people in the office. And this is what really, really, really bother me. Even if they're not qualified, at least surround yourselves with people that are qualified, that know your district, know what's going on, and not scared to hold those real conversations. You know, just like Chris Christie said, you got to be able to, and this is not a quote, direct quote, you got to be able to say, take folks head on. Have those uncomfortable conversations. Tell those people, hey, you're wrong. I keep calling. We need an office of accountability. I don't believe we need an office of, we need a task force that of politicians, because they all in, they float in the same boat anyway. We need a task force of accountability where there are not the normal people that sit there that you see that's picked all the time. You need some real folk on these things that would are not scared to hold folks' feet to the fire. And until we do that, we will still have the problems we have today. We're going to take our second and final break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPHL 97.5 HD2.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Don't worry, people say. We know the truth.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Enough is enough of this garbage.
Skinhead, deadhead, everybody gone bad. Situation aggravation, every
Welcome back to Tony Channel here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN. Was it PEN or PHL? PEN. I apologize. I've been saying PHL. PEN 97.5 HD2. I don't know what's gotten into me today. Must be on that trying to advertise for somebody else. You know, we talked about this reparations task force. I just want to read to those of you that may be interested. The deadline is January 15th, 2024. Philadelphia Reparations Task Force shall comprise 10 members from the descendant group who reside in the city of Philadelphia and have done so for at least a decade. So you have to live here 10 years. You have to be from a descendant group. The task force members must have the capacity to provide pro bono professional expertise, be excellent coordinators, and work very well with others. Task force member applicants should have experience in the sector of the position they are seeking to fill. See, got to have experience. And experience in activism, social justice, grassroots community organizing, or reparatory justice. Descendant group is defined as Black and African-American descendants of enslaved Africans in the United States, the descendants of the Black, Negro, or colored Americans since 1865, and the descendants of the free men emancipated from slave. The descendant group may include identified Black and African-American residents in the city of Philadelphia of mixed race or heritage, so long as one of this native-born American parents is a due member of a descendant group. Wow, that's a mouthful. So now you got to figure out whether you're a descendant, part of a descendant group. So you will be expected to develop, read, and write review reports, coordinate meetings, dates, and timelines, build and maintain partnerships in this sector, develop and manage committees and community cohorts, conduct surveys via individual peer groups, generational, family, professional, neighborhood, and group cohorts, participate in and lead courses, conferences, and conventions. Advocate for the descendant group's self-determination. You have to complete a application form, REP. You can find it at rep215.com. And you have to choose any one of the eight, committees to be a part of. Economic justice, public and post-secondary education, health and wellness, Atlantic world history, human services and community resources, criminal and legal justice system, law and policy, international and domestic, urban planning and sustainable development. That sounds like some of the committees that's already in some of our state houses and our city council to me. But you can go to rep215.com if you are truly interested in being part of this 10-member task force for reparations. So, you know, it's interesting because, again, we have so many other things that need to be addressed in the city of Philadelphia, from parking to hunger to inadequate bus terminal, that we throw this reparation bone out to a community. You know, there's three books I want folks to go look at. One was The Nation of Wusses, How America's Leaders Lost the Guts to Make Us Great. That's written by former Governor Ed Rendell and former Mayor Ed Rendell, all the same person. And then Chris Christie, Let Me Finish, Trump, the Kushners, Bannon, New Jersey, and the Power of In-Your-Face Politics, Chris Christie. And the third would be a book that Pat and I have talked about, and we haven't talked about the book, but What If Things Were Made in America Again? How Consumers Can Rebuild the Middle Class by Buying Things Made in American Communities. Well, we can't do that unless things are made here in this country. You know, we have to stop outsourcing to our major companies our customer service things to other countries. that can't speak English. I just had that problem this week. I had to ask. I talked to somebody from India to Mexico, and finally somebody here in the United States. I had it years ago when I got bumped from my flight, and I was sent overseas to India, I believe it was. And I finally told the person, get me to this place. I know how to get home. And I told them, I said, you're not in the United States. You don't know where I live. These are the problems that we have. So one of the things that's been in the news, and I know it's a touchy subject to a lot of folks, and that's Hamas and Israel. I have my own thoughts about that, but when we start seeing on both sides, young people, children being killed, we start seeing a ceasefire that's supposed to have stopped, but yet still bombing continues, that we can't get the aid into those that need it. There's a problem, people. There's a problem. You know, we can send billions and billions of dollars overseas. And if you think about it, we were in a war which was called the Vietnam War that we should have never been in. So you have to start looking at these things. You know, this is a touchy subject. Here in Philadelphia, the president of the University of Pennsylvania is being grilled, you know, as making anti-Semitic remarks. And what was she going to do about it? But I pose to you, and one of my good friends here, we had this conversation. He kind of agreed to disagree with me. When there was a problem with black, young blacks at the University of Pennsylvania, there was not a congressional hearing. There was no elected official representation. There was no voice. Why? And I said this, and because not that the youngsters weren't organized. It was because there was no powerful people behind what was going on because of the color of their skin. And I said it, and I'm not going to take it back. When the Asians, when there was a shooting in, I forgot where it was at, and all the Asians were killed. Did you understand how fast that bill got passed through Congress? Why? Because they were organized. Why? Because they were organized. Do I agree with our governor, Mr. Shapiro, stepping in? I'm not sure. Because this is the same man that when he ran for office or was going to run for office, before he said that, he said anyone that runs for office, a higher office, should step down. And when his words were given back to him while he was running and staying in his AG position, he just shrugged it off. So, can I say our governor speak with forked tongue? I'm not going to go that far, but I will say he doesn't live to some of his own policies. You know, and I met Mr. Shapiro many, many moons ago when they had the meeting and the Washingtonians met right behind 30th Street Station, and they were grooming him for a higher office then. So it's not like I'm talking to hear myself talk. I've been in the rooms. Most people don't know I was in those rooms, but I was up against the wall, my back to the wall, my ears open and listening. So with that said, we're going to leave. And hopefully I gave you guys some food for thought for next week. And I want to thank you for joining Tone the Tenor Show here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. I want to thank our engineer. You know, he ain't been around for a while. TJ, thank you, man, for putting up with me today. You know, see, at least Pat gets help when he's by himself from Tyler. But I understand, you know, I guess you didn't want to feed into my ranting and raving today. But listeners, follow our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor. I'm Randall Jefferson. Thank you for joining and listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2.
Just to get by. We commute to computers. Spirits stay mute while your ego spread rumors. We survivalists turn to consumers. Just